from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? Seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
Wow, if you haven't got it by now, Spectrum 360, when will you get it?
This is radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, 28th of October, 2013. This is Mark Skogman.
This is Bruce Wright.
On the program this week, the program preview indicates that we have a good program. When do we have a bad program? Let me ask you that. We work very hard on this program to give you a great program every week. And this week is exactly the same as before. We worked very hard. I have traveled all over Western and Central Florida to get this program together for you. On segment one, we are going to have an interview live via telephone with
Kirsten Clanton with the Southern Legal Center, and we're going to be discussing a very important case, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I guess so.
Coming up regarding First and Fourth Amendment issues. Imagine that. That we even have to discuss it. You know, it
yes.
seems like it's in the Constitution, isn't it?
Very interesting. That's going to be segment one, and that'll be involving actually Bruce Wright and the lawyer, Kirsten Clanton, about the case that he's involved in. Segment two is going to be another interview live via telephone with Bill Boccolo. He's the president of the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida. We'll be talking about environmental issues and the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida with the president himself. And then on half two of the program, the second half, we will have an interview with Amanda Murphy that I recorded this weekend, actually just yesterday, at the Florida Democratic Party State Party Conference. And I spoke with her about a number of issues and about her election in the special election. She won that filled the seat that was vacated by Mike Fasano in Pasco County when he was appointed the Pasco County tax collector after the previous tax collector, Mike Olson, died. After that, we'll relate that to the Duke Energy ripoff rally. We're going to have Amanda's position on that. And we're also going to have the speech that Florida State Representative Carl Zimmerman gave at the Duke Energy ripoff rally on Saturday, the 12th of October. And then also, I'm going to have some brief comments by Charlie Crist on segment five of the program. Charlie Crist spoke multiple times at the Florida Democratic Party State Party Conference, and he has about 2 to 3 minutes of comments that I'd like to play for you and relate that to electoral politics for the office of governor in the state of Florida. Pretty interesting. Charlie Crist was in fine form this weekend, and we will discuss that, and also his apparent beginning rivalry with State Senator Nan Rich for the governorship and the nomination of the Democratic Party. And many other things as well. And we'd like to acknowledge our sponsors.
Yes, we want to give a special shout-out to The Refuge, the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. They're at economichumanrights.org. Veterans for Peace, Chapter 119, who you can find on Facebook. Gennaro Coffee House, 1047 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. You can reach them at 727-202-6956. Every Monday night, they show documentary films by St. Pete for Peace.
Yeah.
And every Saturday night, they have First Stop Poetry with Mona Lisa every Saturday at 8:30. Relax at Home, licensed massage therapist. Call Patricia at 813-784-7485. My Place in Recovery Thrift Store, 1450 First Avenue North, located or can be reached at 727-244-0427. And the Catholic Worker of St. Petersburg, 727-278-1547.
Yeah.
And the League of Revolutionaries for New America, LRNA.org.
A League of Revolutionaries?
Yes.
Are they coming to get me?
Yeah, they're not the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But anyway, very bad movie.
Well,
by
I
the
hope
way.
They're. That's why I didn't see it.
I know.
I hope that the League of Revolutionaries are extraordinary gentlemen, though. That would make them additionally more cool and more hip.
Yeah, not one of Sean Connery's finest moments as far as movies go. But anyway.
Some you do for the art, some you do for the money, right?
Yes, I guess so. Well, we have a very important guest today, and I guess I'm a bit biased, but we do have a very important guest today on the phone that we're going to talk to. Let me first introduce her, Kirsten Clanton. Sorry, Kirsten. Kirsten Clanton is an attorney with the Southern Legal Center in Gainesville. And they are a not-for-profit lawyer firm that does advocacy work, in particular advocacy work with low-income and homeless individuals, as well as others who are not represented adequately often in our court system. Kirsten, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
So, Kirsten, I know about what the Southern Legal Center does from a very personal point of view, which we'll get to in a moment. But I know our audience doesn't know, and Mark, I'm sure, would like to learn more as well. Tell us what the Southern Legal Center is and does.
Yes, it's the Southern Legal Counsel, actually. As you said, it's a not-for-profit public interest law firm. We're located in Gainesville, Florida, but we do work statewide. And we were founded in 1977, actually, to fulfill a unique role in legal services in the state of Florida, and that is to have a general public interest law firm that could take on the important issues in our state on a systemic level. So what that means is that we take cases on behalf of individuals and groups who otherwise would not have access to the justice system, and we do cases that are going to bring about some sort of change that's going to impact not just our clients, but everyone else who's impacted by that same problem. So that might be that we challenge a law that's unconstitutional, or we're challenging the way in which a government agency is administering a public benefits program, for example. And so we're not just trying to help our individual clients, but everyone who's impacted by whatever policy or law we're trying to change. A lot of our cases happen to be against the government because, our basic mission is to pursue equal justice for all and basic civil and human rights. And so we really do a lot to try to keep governments accountable. And we don't take any government money so that we can retain independence to challenge governmental inequities.
Well, very interesting. Kirsten Clanton, this is Mark Skogman, Bruce's co-host here on Spectrum 360. It's nice to meet you by telephone. And I love lawyers that do the type of work that you do. That's great work. I think it's God's work in so many ways. And it's a very big benefit to the public. So I'm so glad that you're a lawyer and that the Southern Legal Center exists. And that's just great. I really appreciate what you do. Now, tell us more about the case that's happening that you're involved in right now with Bruce Wright.
Yes. So we actually we represent Bruce in a case that's actually being filed in federal court tomorrow. It's being filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida in the Tampa Division. And it's a case brought under the First and the 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. And we're challenging a policy that the city of St. Petersburg has, which is that they have this ordinance that allows them to issue trespass warnings to individuals to ban them from entering various city buildings, but it includes city parks. And Bruce was banned for a year from going into Williams Park. And what we've alleged in the lawsuit is that the city's ordinance does not have sufficient safeguards to protect his First and 14th Amendment rights, and that they have really infringed on his First Amendment rights by banning him from this quintessential public forum for 1 year.
Well, very interesting. Now, what was the incident that this all stemmed from? What was the original incident that caused this lawsuit to be filed? Bruce?
Well, I had been sitting across the street at a restaurant and observed law enforcement officers doing what I consider potential harassment of homeless individuals or people that appeared to be homeless that were just lying on the grass. They were not doing anything, but they were going up, and it wasn't just one random person, but to multiple people asking, you know, what they were doing, why they were lying on the grass. And so I just went up to ask questions and videotape. Along the way, the officers felt like I was not doing what I should be doing, and an arrest resulted. It was later adjudication withheld and dismissed, but the trespass, I was given a trespass warning while I was there that I had to sign or choose not to sign, which I chose to, you know, I don't want to give all the details, but I basically was trespassed. And so the trespass, you know, basically was for a year.
And well, was this, in your view, was that a legitimate charge? Did they have a legitimate basis on it? Was there, you know, was it reasonable? Was there evidence in their favor that they could, you know, that they could quote and state to defend their position of trespassing you?
Well,
Bruce, if I could just, there's something I'd like to explain actually about trespass warnings is that, you know, I just want us to keep in mind that there's two separate issues going here. So, one is the arrest and whether or not there's ample evidence in criminal court for that. But what the city has done with this trespass ordinance is that they are treating these trespass warnings as their own separate punishment in a way that they issue that happens outside of the criminal justice system. And the only way to challenge it, which, by the way, the reason that people have a right to challenge it is because another federal lawsuit that our organization had brought against the city of St. Petersburg several years ago, and it went all the way up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and that court found that people have a protected liberty interest to be in public places of their choosing.
Well, I agree.
And if the government's going to take that right away, then they have to give you a right, an opportunity to challenge it. And so on behalf of Bruce, we filed an appeal of the trespass warning. And we went to a hearing in front of a city hearing master. And
let me stop you there, right there for just a moment.
Yes.
Can you explain exactly what a city hearing master is?
Sure. It's somebody that the city contracts with just for the purposes of hearing types of cases like that occur under a city ordinances.
It's a kind of a lower level judge, in effect?
I mean, it's kind of a quasi-judicial proceeding.
Maybe something similar to like what an administrative law judge does.
Exactly. It's more similar to kind of an administrative law procedure. Mm-hmm. And so he had a hearing, and then the sitting hearing master. One of the things that we allege in the lawsuit, and that's being challenged currently right now in a separate case. Is that she found that there was no way to challenge the length of time that he'd been issued a trespass warning. So the city ordinance allows trespass warnings to be issued for a range of time, for up to 1 year. And the city always issues them for the maximum, which is what happened to Bruce. He was issued it for 1 year. And the sitting hearing master ruled she had no discretion to change that. And so what happens is...
That put it in conflict with the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution then, correct?
Yes, that is one of the issues that we've raised. And so what happened is, because we're saying that basically he had no opportunity to challenge the length of time. There was no independent discretion exercised by the city hearing master. And so after that hearing, that proceeding, she went ahead and upheld the trespass warning. She said it was fine that they issued it, and it's fine that it's for 1 year. And so we filed a case on behalf of Bruce in state court, and that case is challenging the actual trespass warning. But that's in addition to that, we've now filed a federal lawsuit that's saying basically the issuance of the trespass warning and the way that the ordinance is set up, it has significant First Amendment concerns and 14th Amendment, but it's really all arising out of the First Amendment in this case because of the fact that you're banning people from parks, which are just these essential places for free speech.
Yes, exactly. I always thought it was a rather kind of odd contradiction to say that you could be trespassed from a public place. It was like a contradiction in terms. How can you trespass on your own property? If it's a public place and you're a member of the public, you have the right to be there. And, you know, from my perspective.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing concept when you think about it, because, what the Supreme Court has traditionally, said is that parks have been immemorially held in trust for the use of the people. I mean, those parks, that park that belongs to Bruce, that belongs to you, that belongs to everyone who lives in that city. And so, we won this very significant legal battle when the court said, hey, you have a protected right to be there. And if the government's going to take that right away, they have to give you due process. And now we're going at this from a First Amendment angle and looking at, the problems caused by the fact that you're banning people. And for someone like Bruce, I mean, he uses that park all the time to exercise his First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm. I have too.
Yes, absolutely. And so then,
along with 500 to 600 other people on occasion.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you can go back to like Vietnam era protests in Williams Park. I mean, it's definitely like the hub of First Amendment activity. And but the city of St. Petersburg is not the only city doing this. This use of trespass warnings for public places is happening all over the country. This use of trespass warnings is being used against Occupy protesters,
yes,
for
yes.
example.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that.
And so this is a very significant case from that context, because if you can be in a park and, as a part of a protest, and then the government can come and say to you, hey, you know what, you can't be here again for a year, well, then they're taking away your right to speak.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but also with the Occupy movement, there were several arrests of Occupy people in Tampa for being in parks and sidewalks, and many of those cases have been dismissed. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but I always watch those cases closely. I thought it was very significant that the vast majority of them have been dismissed.
I actually am aware of that, and actually it's interesting because several of the motions that I saw to dismiss those cases had actually cited our case against the city of St. Petersburg.
Oh, interesting.
Because they hadn't been given due process. Just recently we had, the city of Gainesville was banning people from kind of our equivalent of Williams Park, the main city plaza downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the folks that they were banning from the park were all homeless people. And, we had one client who was banned from the park because he was there a half hour before the park opened. He was there at like 6:30 in the morning, which is a city ordinance violation. And so because he was there a half hour too early, he wasn't allowed to return to that same park for a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And they had no due process rights or anything like that. But we wrote to the city of Gainesville and told them, hey, this is a problem. We have First Amendment concerns. We have 14th Amendment concerns. And they actually immediately rescinded all of the trespass warnings and are revising their policy because of that.
You know, Kirsten, I'm, of course, being involved in this case personally, I'm well aware of the implications of this. Naturally, I'm in one sense honored, but in another sense,
inconvenienced.
Inconvenienced. But I know that too often these kinds of situations have been ignored because of the nature of some that have been trespassed. You know, as you mentioned, I do a lot of my work in the park because I run a outreach to the homeless and poor. And so I'm in the park beyond just for political activity, for just general activity of serving the poor and homeless that I work with. And in
this
reality,
this is your professional work.
Yeah. And in reality, I'm there every day anyway, just catching the bus. Cause the buses are right there at Williams Park. And
you love Williams Park.
I'm telling you, it's a beautiful park though. It should be for everybody. And, you know, I, in fact, sometimes have to run all the way to the other side to catch the bus and not miss it because I can't cut through the park. I mean,
good
I know
exercise.
That's a rather simple thing, but, you know, it does impact in many ways. And you know, as you've been sharing the far-reaching impacts of this, what is our hope in this that you can at least freely share
yeah,
at this
just
point?
Yeah, just recap exactly what's going on with the lawsuit and when it was filed, so the details of that.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so basically what we've done is we've filed a federal lawsuit, and we've alleged that there's two main deficiencies with the ordinance that you know, it's violating First Amendment rights, and it's also violating the 14th Amendment. And we've requested certain forms of relief in the complaint. One form of relief is we've asked for what's known as declaratory judgment, which is basically we're asking the court to decide whether or not the ordinance violates the First Amendment and whether it violates the 14th Amendment. The other thing we're asking for is an injunction, and we're asking for an injunction to actually rescind the trespass warning issued by the city to Bruce, and then also an injunction prohibiting the city from continuing to enforce this ordinance. And so those are kind of the main forms of relief that have, you know, the broadest impact. And you know, something I wanted to touch on too is that, you know, Bruce got himself tangled up in all of this unwittingly, but this the use of the trespass warnings are very well known to the homeless people and poor people in the city of St. Petersburg, because it is used very regularly. I have a group of clients who I represent in state court cases right now challenging their trespass warnings, and they were all issued trespass warnings because they were leaving Williams Park when it closed around 11 o'clock at night. And literally right at 11, all of the city police officers swarmed into the park and had a big raid and arrested all of these people who were either in the process of leaving the park or had already left the park right at the time that it closes, and banned everyone from the park for a year.
That, you know, Kirsten, we're a little short on time here, but as I hear this, of course, I'm reminded of how unbelievable the whole thing is. And there's more to come, by the way, folks, and it is being released to the press tomorrow, so you got it exclusively here on Spectrum 360 before anyone else, and hopefully we'll be doing more things like this. But Kirsten, just real quick, we have to kind of, you know, move on, but could you just give a number of the Southern Legal Center if people want to know more?
Yes, so if anyone wants to know more, our name is Southern Legal Counsel.
Southern Legal
Our
Counsel.
Telephone number is 352-271-8890. My name is Kirsten Clanton, and you can also check us out on the web at www.southernlegal.org, and we're also on Facebook.
Well, thank you, Kirsten. And, you know, we'll be talking more about this in the coming weeks, I'm sure, because many things are yet to come. So thanks again, Kirsten. That was Kirsten Clanton with the Southern Legal Counsel, my attorney in a case that's happening regarding First and 14th Amendment. Mark now has another interview coming.
Okay, this is Mark Skogman, and this is Spectrum 360. That was segment one for this program. Segment two, we are going to pick up right after the break at 11:35. We're going to take a break for about 5 minutes for commercial announcements, news, etc., and then we'll be coming back with Bill McCullough, the president of the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida. And remember, this case that we talked about is a 14th Amendment case. The 14th Amendment was ratified July 9, 1968, and it's an amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So we'll be talking more about that later. And I'd like to even read the first section of the 14th Amendment for you when we come back from break, because it's rather interesting. Remember, like us on Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com. And then the radio program Spectrum 360, like us. We love those likes. It helps us. It helps everybody. Please like us. Remember the podcast at www.tantalk1340.com. Go to podcasts. Go to Spectrum 360. You can listen to this program anytime via podcast. And, of course, weekly, Monday evenings, 11 p.m. for
check
1 hour.
Check us out.
Here's Downtown Dave for the Three Oaks Cafe, 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater.
For a spectacular breakfast or lunch, we recommend the Three Oaks Cafe, 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater. The food is terrific, the price is right, and the service the best. That's the Three Oaks Cafe, open every day from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., 1575 South Fort Harrison in Clearwater. Dine today at the Three Oaks Cafe.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Join us Saturday mornings for Dispatch Radio.
8 to 9 every morning on Saturdays. We can give you caught up on everything that's been happening during the week. We can hit you with all the big headlines, obviously, in the U.S. and some of the things that are going on, obviously, NSA surveillance and IRS scandal, some of the things that you'll see in the paper. But we also try to get into some of the news that you may not have seen. We have a lot of local crime stories. We have a lot of contributors across the globe. So there's a lot of world news. We even get into some of the frivolous stuff.
Dispatch Radio, Saturday mornings at 8 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For all your home repair needs, call Ed's Handyman Services at 727-224-8681. For example, toilets, faucet, door locks, and much, much more. Impeccable quality work and reliable real-time service at an astonishing affordable price. Ed provides a clean, safe work environment from start to finish. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Ed guarantees all his work. So call Ed now at 727-224-8681.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the book club on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and I've been telling you about a book that can change your life. The book is No Cash, No Problem by Dave Wagenford, who is one of the greatest barter experts in the world, and his co-author, Ali Pervez. Well, it turns out that a whole lot of people agreed with me. Just check out the reviews on Amazon, where the Kindle edition of the book has been number one in its categories for the last 5 weeks. Do you want to remodel your house, but the cost is just too high? Or maybe there's an automobile that you have dreamed of owning, but thought you could never afford? This book will tell you how you can do both of these things, plus hundreds more, with little or no cash and without going into hock for the rest of your life. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existent profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now on Amazon for just $4.49 for the ebook. Do yourself a big favor and buy it today.
Take a trip down the aisle you'll never forget at Mamma Mia, Broadway's smash hit musical based on the songs of ABBA. Everyone's having the time of their lives at this guaranteed get happy hit about a mother, her daughter, and three possible dads. How can you resist?
Don't miss Mamma Mia at Ruth Eckerd Hall November 1st and 2nd. For tickets, visit RuthEckerdHall.com.
Hey again.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? This here's Carl from Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm here talking on my CB.
On the CB, yeah.
Yeah, Breaker Breaker 19. Did you ever drive an 18-wheeler?
No.
You never drove an 18-wheeler?
No way.
Oh, boy.
You got to have a special license to drive an 18-wheeler.
I know that your license is playing big band music on the Buddy Verdi Show.
That's the Buddy Verdi Show. Big band music every Saturday afternoon from 1 until 3 here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Good buddy.
This is your PC Hero, and I know some of you have to work during the week. Doesn't that stink? And you're not able to listen to my show live and get some really good information timely? Well, we have listened to your request, and we are moving to Saturdays, baby. That's right. Your PC Hero is moving to Saturdays on the Tan Talk Network.
Hear what we've got to say, what's going on in technology, and get our valuable insight and opinions every Saturday.
From noon until 1, your PC Hero on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
Not be the end of the world, but you can see it from here.
Love that song.
Yes, the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine? Not quite.
Sometimes I feel fine. Sometimes I don't feel fine.
But I got better. It's only a flesh wound.
Anyway. There was a meme online that had a scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and it was the Republicans saying that, and they had their arms chopped off and everything. It was like, apparently it was referring to the Affordable Health Care Act and also the government closure. And it was pretty funny. I saw that. That was great.
Well, actually, that had quite a bit of politics in it, the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah, yes, it did.
It was rather funny.
Okay, to our next segment. Segment two, we finally get to it. I apologize for the delay. We are going to speak live via telephone in the, here in the studio with Bill Boccolo. Bill Boccolo is the originator, the founder, and the president of the Democratic Environmental Caucus. Bill, welcome to the program, Spectrum 360.
And chief bottle washer and cook. How you doing, guys?
Hey,
very
Bill.
Good. Very
congratulations
good.
On your scoop tonight.
Ah,
oh,
well,
yes.
Thank you.
We got the exclusive, I guess.
Yes, we tend to get exclusives on things that are happening to us.
Hey, I would think so. I would hope so.
I get that.
There's not a media blackout with us. Anyway,
that's for sure. So tell us.
I want a press release.
Tell us how the Environmental Caucus of Florida started and what exactly is the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida.
Okay, well, the caucuses, as people probably get a sense of, is an organization of people involved in politics for a specific purpose, always to get people elected or get an issue passed, but they have a specific interest. And ours is the whole world of the environment, which too often is not concentrated on the way many people in politics would like, who also care about the environment and are active, would like to see that happen. There are reasons for that that we can get into that are, you know, opinion and conjecture, but it's a fact. And I noticed this for the first time when I was working as the political chair of the Sierra Club for 4 years, several years ago, and wondered how to bridge the gap between all the organizations who really work very hard and are very effective as environmental groups like the Sierra Club and Audubon and conservation groups of various sorts. But there's just this little bit of thing where they have a problem because of tax status and so forth, endorsing candidates or really getting behind candidates. It's also a way to get people who are active in politics first and turn them over towards activity that's more related to environmental issues. We think the solution to most of our problems is political action, and we think that Democrats are the avenue for that. And we think between the choices we have right now that are viable, and we think that with 4.5 million Democrats in the state of Florida, there's a pretty good chance most of them are environmentalists, and given an opportunity and an option, will be open to news about things that they can do something about, like helping candidates who are good on particular issues get elected. People in Panama City who are in our caucus can help people in Key West get elected by making phone calls and donations and organizing right there in their own backyard. We have five chapters now formed and more on the way. We're in the Orlando area. We're here in Tampa Bay across three counties. We're set up in the north central area across 18 counties from Gainesville to Tallahassee. And we've got about 30-35 people organized in northeast Florida and between Duval and Fernandina and all that area. So, but I got to tell you, it's a formidable thing running something in the state, as many businesses and organizations have found before me. And it's quite a challenge.
Bill,
I enjoy it.
Bill, it seems to me, it seems to me, though, that this should be an issue everyone should be concerned about, regardless of party politics.
Absolutely.
As some know here, I'm a Green.
Absolutely.
But even Republicans, I know that, for instance, the Chamber of Commerce, which is generally no friend of the environment in many cases, but in this case, they understand the bread and butter for Florida is the environment. They've taken some positions that I think worked hand in glove with like what the caucus is doing.
I get that. And it's true. And in fact, there's no reason there has to be only one way to do this. We simply have a point of energy and attention from a democratic orientation. We have people, thousands of people who are involved in Democratic executive committees, the local organizations in each of the counties across the state, and they're already committed and activists within the Democratic structure. The idea here is that we take those people, not exclusive of anybody else necessarily, but we take those people who are there and organized and available and steer some of that energy towards environmental issues where it wasn't before. And it's a mosaic. It's a big picture with lots of little pieces, and we're one of those pieces in the environmental mosaic. That is, pardon my, I shouldn't even say mosaic, for God's sake. But
yes,
the Gestalt idea, the idea of lots of pieces making a big picture and making things happen together.
And what you're referring to with the word mosaic is the fact that mosaic is the name of a phosphate fertilizer company here in the Tampa Bay area that's been very bad for the environment in many ways.
It's important in farming, but I'm afraid it's overused and it's phosphate. And it's one more example of excessive commercial pressure to push product into a sector business and then have a bad outcome. I mean, the lagoon, the Indian River Lagoon, of course, is being destroyed by crap out of from sugar growers in Okeechobee, which and then that fresh water with laced with all the fertilizer and other odds and ends gets shunted into the fresh water gets shunted into the saltwater lagoon on the east coast of Florida.
What a mix!
One of the huge aquatic environments that we need to preserve.
Bill, what do you see as? What do you see as like the major environmental issues right now in our state, and what is the state of the state, if you will, as far as dealing with those issues?
Water is the big issue. Water from creeks and streams and springs that are drying out up in the center part of the state. to wells that are emptying out and down to a fraction of their normal levels, and with minerals and poop and fertilizer seeping into the water that's left. Silver Spring that feeds Silver Springs and Wekiwatchee and all that is a fraction of its former self. Water is salt water is the coast coastal areas are experiencing incursion from salt water into their areas and into fresh water there. We have a couple of aquifers up in the north and central part of the state that feed everybody, and we're sucking them dry much faster than they replenish. And we're giving away water to people who put it in bottles and sell it back to us, for God's sake.
That's ridiculous.
In many ways, it's very critical, and each part of the state, and this is one of the things we're focusing on in the caucus, each part of the state needs to zero in on its nascent issue, its particular issue in the state. People in the Northeast are in fact, very focused, and many of them in the caucus, many, many more of them are involved as river keepers and so forth, and agitating and educating politicians and the citizenry. And that's the other thing we want to do in the caucus is educate our voters and educate the public and elected officials about the best science regarding how to treat these problems.
We certainly did that this weekend.
High-tech people in the field of science, various kinds of environmental sciences, who are in the caucus.
Yes. I was at the Florida Democratic Party state conference in Orlando at the Disney Resort, as were you. And I was at the caucus meeting. I was actually the videographer there, video recording you as you started the meeting. And it was standing room only. There were people still trying to get in the door, and it was just mobbed. It was a very popular caucus. And I remember State Senator Nan Rich, who's now running for governor of the state of Florida, she had some very harsh criticism for Rick Scott in terms of how he's handled the environment and how bad a lot of the springs are. And she was very forceful on the subject there at that meeting. I remember that very well.
You mean our governor, Lord Voldemort?
Voldemort, yeah. Yes. He's been a disaster. And you know, I guess I'm a little cynical, but it's people like Rick Scott who are going to end people like Rick Scott in politics, at least for this cycle. Things seem to swing back and forth over generations, but they've just about shot their wad, I think. We're getting sick of them, and even the dumbest and thickest of our citizens is beginning to see how goofy those people are and what damage they're doing. So maybe we owe him a vote of thanks in a sort of way, because he's an ass clown, and these Tea Party ass clowns are
Tell me what you really think, Bill.
Well, Bill Bacullo, thank you for appearing on Spectrum 360. Once again, Bill Bacullo is the president of the Democratic Environmental Caucus of Florida. They had a rousing standing room only meeting at the Florida Democratic Party state conference over this last weekend in Orlando at the Disney Resort.
Hey, Mark, if I may, I invite people to go to our Facebook page.
Yes, and, please.
DECF and look us up and hook up. We're cheap to join, $5 a year, folks.
Very good. Bill Bacullo, thank you once again.
You know, bye-bye. Mark, it's amazing to me that, you know, we have people in leadership in Tallahassee that don't even see what the majority of the public, and this goes beyond Democrat and Republican and Green and whatever other parties out there, but the majority of the public recognizes that what makes Florida, Florida is our environment. And yet the powers that be aren't even listening to their own constituents. I mean, yes. The Chamber of Commerce, for crying out loud, recognizes it.
Correct.
Okay, maybe it's the papers, maybe it's the family, maybe it's the internet, radio, TV, maybe it's the president, maybe it's the last one, maybe it's the one before that. Maybe it's the athletes, maybe it's the ads, maybe it's the sports fans, agents, fads, maybe it's the homeless, aliens, immigrants, maybe it's life. Don't tell me that it's imminent.
Come on, people now.
Wow, that was fun. Okay, on to our next segment. We're probably going to be having It appears that we're going to have to probably bump one of our segments and reschedule one of our segments for this program for the next program, because a couple of our segments have gone so long. They've been very interesting, though, and that's always good. That's what we want in Spectrum 360. The next segment, I wanted to focus on an interview that I did, that is a recorded interview that I did with Amanda Murphy yesterday at the Florida Democratic Party State Conference in Orlando. And Amanda Murphy was just elected to the state of Florida House of Representatives. There was a special election to fill the seat that Mike Fasano once held when he was appointed Pasco County tax collector after the previous Pasco County tax collector, Mike Olson, died while he was in office. And she won that election. She's a Democrat. And I was able to interview her about a few different things, what her agenda is. And this was rather interesting. She's brand new to politics. This is, to my knowledge, the first time she's been elected to elective office in the state of Florida. So she's a brand new, newly minted state representative, and here's what she has to say.
Okay, that's good. All right. Amanda Murphy, congratulations on your recent election win. What do you attribute your win to?
Thank you. There are many factors that made this happen, but the Democrats across the state came together, made calls. They drove from all over the place to come and do walks for me. The Democratic Party was able to focus on the race, so that was a huge help. And then, of course, the Mike Fasano endorsement. I think that pushed us over the top.
So you think that was a factor in the election, the Fasano endorsement?
Yes, I do. We had a lot of crossover from Republicans, and I think that having Mike Fasano's name behind me gave us that leg up.
What originally gave you the inspiration to run for the office?
The fact that Mike Fasano was stepping down. I felt that in the last 10 years, he had been our voice in Pasco County, and he was a true believer and fought for all of us. And when I looked around at the Republicans that were running, I just knew that we couldn't let one of them go up there because I didn't feel that they would keep that legacy going. And so when it came down to it, I said, well, it's my turn, and I better step up or else I can't complain.
What's your attitude towards Mike Fasano now with his endorsement and his recent record where he's been very middle-class friendly? What's your attitude towards that?
Oh, I love that. That's where we need to focus. It's all about the people. It's not about the party. And Mike was really looking at that and pushing for all of us and fighting for all of us. And that's where I plan on staying, because if we don't get back to the people, then we're going to lose out completely.
What's your agenda going to be as a state representative in the state legislature in the state of Florida?
We're going to focus on the nuclear cost recovery fee and try and get that repealed, first and foremost. We're going to have lots of discussions about citizens' insurance, and we're even trying to have some discussions about the flood insurance. It's a national issue, but as Floridians, we are going to have discussions locally and at least help our people understand it or see what kind of laws we can implement to help them on the ground. And then we have got to put some money back in education and stop the bleeding in our education system. We should be number one, and we can be if we put the money where it belongs.
Now, how quickly do you think you can get the advanced recovery fee repealed in the state legislature? Don't you think there will be some resistance to that?
There, of course, will be some resistance, but I'm going to remind them that even my opponent was using that on his mailers, so I'm hoping that that means that some of his friends up there are seeing the issue as very important, and we're going to focus on just talking to them and seeing how far we can move, but it is already in the bill process, I was told, so I'll be signing on to that quickly.
And I understand in Pinellas County, Pam Duvav, the property appraiser, she is saying that in many cases that the housing that are in the floodplain are going to be affected by as much as a 40% drop in their property values. Are you expecting the same similar kind of scenario in Pasco County?
Yes, I'll give you one example. Over in the Gulf Harbors area, one person sent me their information. Their house was originally $40,000 when it was built long, long ago. Now the insurance, if they were to sell that, the new owners would have to pay $40,000 for their flood insurance.
Yeah, that's kind of under control, but just
wow.
Yeah, who's going to be able to pay that? So they're going to halt all the home sales, and owners that own their home outright, they're just going to drop insurance altogether, because who's going to pay $40,000 if it's going to cost you $100, $150 to replace your home? You could set that money aside and use it for other uses.
Great. Well, Amanda Murphy, thank you, and congratulations once again on your election.
Thank you, and I'm so proud to be serving Pasco.
Thanks.
That was great.
All right, thanks.
That's your home county, isn't it, Mark? Pasco? Well, I guess you're by county.
Slowly unlock the door. As the man breathes into his saxophone. And through the walls you hear the city groan. Outside it's America. Outside it's America.
Spectrum 360 with Mark Spielman and Bruce Wright. Your progressive political talk and humor program.
Okay, on to our next segment. We are going to reschedule what was originally scheduled for segment four for this program, which was an interview that a speech that Florida State Representative from District 65, Carl Zimmerman, gave to the Duke Energy ripoff rally on the 12th of October, a Saturday. But we're going to reschedule that for the next program. For the final segment on this program, I want to speak a little bit more about what happened at the Florida Democratic Party state conference. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to turn this whole program into like just a one mention after another of that event, but there was a lot of interesting things that happened there.
And that's okay. We'll forgive you for being a Democrat.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do a green program next. I know,
yes,
right? You're gonna hold me to that.
Correct? I am gonna hold you to that.
Yes, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, what happened
but
was...
But we are your equal opportunity radio, except for... I being honest, you know, we are obviously leaning in a certain direction that maybe other shows may not be, but that's what we're all about, to bring variety to this station and other stations.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to play a few comments by Charlie Crist. He was at the conference. He spoke to the LGBT caucus meeting and had some interesting things to say.
We have a duty to do what's right and to stand up for the people again. When I served as governor before, I tried to be the people's governor every day. To think about, you know, how does this affect Joanne? How does this affect Rob? How does this affect Susie? How does this affect Paul? How does this affect Michael? It matters. And you have to have somebody in a position of authority who thinks about you. Who thinks about you first and the kids in our schools and what they're having to deal with and how are you going to improve the economy and create jobs? We hear a lot about jobs, jobs, jobs and all that, you know, nice rhetoric. The best way to create an opportunity for good jobs is not to whack education, it's to protect it and honor these teachers and not demoralize them. They are demoralized. I talk to them every day. I see them at the Publix. I walk with them at the CVS, you know, in the 7-Eleven. I go around Florida and just walk around. You know, little citizen Christ. God gave me two ears and one mouth. And Sally, I try to respect his ratio. If you listen, and I listened today for an hour right there on the floor, and it was joyful. Was it over now? Whatever. It was helpful to me to hear people like Scott and all of you speak. You know, you learn a lot more when you listen than when you yap. Keep the yap shut and you'll learn a lot. And to be a good leader, a good servant, you have to be a good listener. You don't just go out and pontificate and tell people what to do and act like you've got all this power and authority and expect people to just do what you say because you're governor or whatever it is. That's not the way to lead. The way to lead is to listen and to learn and to have empathy and understand what people need. And it's coming. I'll wrap up by telling you that I would be honored if you can come to my hometown of St. Petersburg next Monday. Actually, if I were you, I would come Sunday because we're going to start at about 7 a.m. on Monday, November the 4th. And we'll have a talk with our fellow Floridians about our future and about fighting for people, all people. Everybody's included. Nobody's left out. This is about a people-driven effort to make sure we get Florida back on track.
I'll be there.
Please come, because it's coming. God bless you, and God bless Florida. And Sally, thank you for being patient.
Well, that was some comments by Charlie Crist at the Florida Democratic Party State Conference in Orlando this weekend. Now, it's widely anticipated that next week on Monday at 7 a.m. in St. Petersburg in Straub Park, St. Petersburg is going to be ground zero in the governor's election for 2014, because it's widely anticipated that Charlie Crist is probably going to announce his candidacy for governor. And it was very interesting to note that at that same meeting, before he spoke, State Senator Nan Rich, who was a declared candidate for the governorship of Florida, spoke right in front of Charlie, and Charlie was very gracious about it. He actually applauded, even stood up and applauded things she said. And she said something very funny, and that was that she had an unfair advantage over Charlie since she was a woman, a mother, and a grandmother. And Charlie took it all in good stride, and he's just a class act. Very interesting. Nan Rich is a very interesting candidate as well. We're going to come back next week with another Spectrum 360. We're going to have a great program for you. Thank you for listening.
And if what he said is true, then I'm really pleased to hear where he's
heading. Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions, yes, and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Co-producer, co-host, and field reporter, Bruce Wright. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters from the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
We can make it happen. Yeah, we can make it happen. Yeah, we can make it happen. We can make it happen. Yeah, we can make it happen. We can make it happen.
WTAM, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.